It's Thursday, November 16th, and so far so good since Eric Bledsoe has arrived for the Milwaukee Bucks. And hey, the Green Bay Packers got a victory without Aaron Rodgers. How about it? And the Wisconsin Badgers are just on the outside looking in after a nice win over Iowa and some Brewers chatter. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 262, coming to you live from the auxiliary keg.
Yeah,
it's like when Villanova plays in the small gym. That's kind of what we're dealing with, the pavilion.
Yeah.
Basically, what we're up against. Mitch on the ones and twos as always. Charlie here with you. Mitch, I'm going to ask how you're doing, but I think you're cranky.
A little bit right now, but I'll be over it momentarily here.
Mitch will get over it, ladies and gents. But
I always do. I don't stay mad. It's one of my famous last words.
There you go. We have a good podcast. I think this is a pretty
Life's
good show.
Life's too short to be pissed off.
Amen. I hear you on that. So this should be a good show. Definitely looking forward to it. Thanks to all the people who've been checking out SnowTapWI recently. It is a website, as you know. A lot of clicks recently. Kind of been good. The Martellus Bennett thing was good for us.
All the slander.
You thought I was slandering Marty
no,
B.
I'm just, I mean, I didn't.
No, I think the what was going on there was just, you know, I was in a groove. You know, I think sometimes you get into that writing groove.
You just get fired up.
And you get fired up. You may call him a fraud a few hundred times in a blog post, and that's just how it is. And, you know, I think it's a scumbag move. I think he's a scumbag human being. As you pointed out, he's probably going to go down as one of the most hated athletes in the state of Wisconsin. And when it's
yeah,
all said
I
and done,
I don't think it'll be even close. I mean, I'm sure in 20 years there will be somebody that comes around. But
right, but you think about guys who've just literally have taken a shit on the entire state. He's way up there, Gary Sheff. He's in that Gary Sheffield pantheon.
You've turned your back on, you know, it's the Green Bay Packers. I mean. It's more than life for people in this state.
And, right.
You know, it's one thing to be Steven Jackson and be a shithead and come play for them. But nobody will think twice.
Right.
But when you're Martellus Bennett and you come play for the Green Bay Packers and you play not very well when you do play, and then all of a sudden, you know, the chips are down and you sort of back out for all intents and purposes, especially when he played this week against New England, you know, he knew that there was something at work there and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a real sucker move.
I mean, the Packers won.
Exactly, and we'll talk about that later.
And now you can throw out a spicy take that maybe they're better off without him.
Well,
and
that's,
maybe he was a problem.
And like someone actually wrote to or someone said to Aaron Nagler, like, you know, this is going to be the thing that galvanizes the team. And Nagler's like, well, the Bears are not a good team, but you never know. It could be. So we'll talk about the Packers a little bit more. Definitely a tough matchup against the Ravens. But before we talk there, I got to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we're on that roller coaster again. Hopefully it's not like last year where it would go up and down. But after a tough week, Eric Bledsoe is
the might be going down.
Cure for the common cold. Are they trailing right now?
Yeah, they were up. They did a 12-0 run or something.
So the Pistons are up a few points.
Yep.
In the second quarter, as we tape this on a Wednesday night. But the fact is the Bucks have won four straight. If they lose tonight, they'll drop one, but that's okay. You know, it's been an impressive.
They've won three straight.
Three straight, excuse me. So they're going for their fourth. So if they're still winners of the three of their last four, it's still a nice little mark, a little feather in the hat.
Sure.
And, you know, granted, they never play well in Dallas, but that's a winnable game with how bad Dallas is. So you'd like to get that one on Saturday. And the Pistons may be one of the better teams in the East right now.
Yeah.
Looks like Stan
Van Gundy. Well, they have a murderous stretch coming up. They have like 9 of 11 on the road now.
Ted Davis called that out on the radio broadcast as well. And we'll really kind of see the true, I guess, grit of the Pistons and see where they're at. But what have been your first impressions with the Bucks now with Eric Bledsoe just as a whole and then maybe Bledsoe as a player?
Well, I guess the Bucks as a whole, I think obviously an injection of talent like that is going to be beneficial to an entire team. And now you move Brogdon to the bench, which I think is the right move because he's the guy who is the most, I guess. Okay, yeah, you could. Tony Snell is probably the most benchable player.
Yep.
But him and Giannis have such chemistry that I don't think that he has to stay in the starting lineup basically indefinitely. You know, and Brogdon's been pretty good off the bench too.
Right, so, and he's playing starter minutes too.
Correct, yeah. So it's not like he's, except for Monday night, he only played like 16, but he had some foul trouble and things were, you know, Liggins was playing well and that type of stuff. So he, you know, that's sort of the outlier, I think, as far as that goes. But other than that, he was playing 30, I think, the first two games. So yeah, he's getting starter minutes and that obviously deepens out your team.
Yeah.
So, and again, like I said, when you inject a fringe all-star into your team to finally do something, and, you know, he hasn't necessarily produced a ton in his short stint here so far. Can't hit a three to save his life. But we kind of knew that. And but still, he's still a threat. And I think that he's fast.
Right.
He's done things that, you know, we haven't seen here in quite some time where, you know, on Monday night you saw he blew by basically the whole team and got a layup. And I haven't heard the Bradley Center that loud this year. And apparently Jason Kidd was going to call timeout in that play. And he kind of faked everybody out or something. I don't know.
He clears the way, right? He creates the space that and lets Giannis operate and lets Giannis cook in a different way.
It's a little bit like when Monte Ellis was here, who have it all, in that he's really quick. He can get by guys, and when he gets to the rim, he's very good at dishing it off.
Yeah,
which we haven't had a point guard who can do that in at least the last couple of years. So that helps for guys like John Henson.
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad you brought John Henson up.
Who have to catch the ball every time. That'd be nice. Yeah. But other than that, he's been good.
Yeah, and that's been a kind of a revelation since Greg Monroe's been traded, has been sort of John Henson's steady sort of breakout year. And it's early, and I think there was a Brew Hoop contributor who like wrote like out in 280, like, I will not get suckered into John Henson again. Yeah. I will not get suckered into John Henson again. But – you know, it's something.
I think I favorited that.
It's Thompson Stearns-esque, where Horst may have known something about Henson that we didn't, and the Bucks coaching staff may have said, "Hey, look, Henson's kind of ready to sort of have this breakout," and we talked about it that maybe Henson's that when like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were like, maybe Henson's that guy that just might not be good till he's 30. And that's not looking true. In fact, he's looking like a productive player, and he becomes a true threat, especially against, you know, this type of NBA. And, you know, you thought that, I think the Memphis game was huge for him because you thought that he would get gobbled up by Marc Gasol. Like, Marc Gasol is a bad matchup for John Henson. If you just look at body type, you look at skill set, all that stuff. And Gasol had a decent game, but he didn't, like, go off. Right. He didn't have like a 15-15 game.
Yeah, I don't even know what Gasol did. I do know that Mike Conley had 7 points on Monday night. So that shows you, I guess, the impact of Bledsoe.
Well,
a guy who's played against him a lot.
Well, and you start to wonder if the Bucks are like a point guard stopper, like the Cavs. That's been the whole story.
Well, that's
about
like exactly
Cavs,
what they needed.
Right, and if they can stop point guards at a regular basis and stop the dribble drive and stop, you know. I don't know what's going on in the Pistons game because we don't have a TV or anything, but if the Pistons are red hot from three, those nights are going to happen.
Yeah.
Those nights are going to happen when you just get beat deep. And
that's what the Pistons have done.
It's how Stan Van Gundy built the Magic to being an NBA Finals team.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big guy, and then he had a bunch of shooters on the outside.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Tobias Harris being unconscious has been kind of, you know, I don't know how sustainable it is.
Right.
He's a good player, don't get me wrong. And Avery Bradley, too. I mean, but are these guys like 50% three-point shooters?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think so.
No,
they're going to have some stretches here. Obviously, they've had a lot of home cooking.
Right.
But, you know, they have some potential.
It was also good to see Chris Middleton.
I mean, the Pistons, you know, they could be the Hawks of a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Where they just, maybe they, I don't think they win 61.
No, but
maybe
55. Maybe they're a three or four seed this year, and they really challenge the Bucks, and it's the Bucks, the Cavs, and the Pistons in some order.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the Bucks, I think Chris Middleton getting started from three on Monday night was another good thing. 4 of 5, he sort of got it going early, which was a first for him. You know, he hasn't really done that this year.
I don't think he did anything until the fourth quarter again, though.
I thought he got it going early.
Well, he had that one, at least from three-point range.
Yeah, right. But
he didn't hit another one until the fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
That big transition three.
That transition three was great.
Which I mean, he said you know, that's something we work on, which is kind of like, why haven't we seen it then?
Yeah, he hit one again, though, tonight, right? Because I heard that on the radio. There was a trail three, basically.
Could be.
So yeah, no, more trail threes are good things. And
if you listen to an NBA game on the radio, there's kind of too much going on to really have an idea. You know who scores the basket, you kind of get an idea, but it's really hard to kind of picture in your head what the hell he's saying. Because
Ted Davis sometimes tries. Ted does what he can. I'm just saying
the nature of the game is really hard to, it's like hockey. It's a hard game to call, and football. Runs it off the left tackle for 4 yards.
Exactly.
You pretty much know what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Throws the ball down the right sideline, dotted his feet.
So the Bucks have an interesting schedule coming up with the, let's see, they head to Dallas, and then they come home to play Washington, and then they go out west.
Yep.
So in Washington.
Well, that's kind of, it is what it is.
Washington will be a great test because with the Bledsoe, John Wall, the fact that the Wizards and Bucks have not really got along in the last couple of years. Giannis
the Wizards
had
the Wizards are chippy on the floor, and they also like to talk.
Yeah.
So they're, I think you can kind of pencil the Wizards and XYZ have had troubles throughout the last couple of years.
What did you make of the speaking of chippiness, what did you make of the Cavs Knicks sort of dust up?
Frank
wasn't scared.
No, he wasn't. He shouldn't be. And Enes Kanter, not scared either.
Did you see his comment that I don't know who it was. It might have been Frank. It might have been someone else. Was like, Enes basically has told the team, like, we won't shake other people's hands on the court. Like, these guys can be our friends off the court, but they're our enemies when they're on the court. We hate these guys. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Well, there needs to be more
of that.
We
need more of that. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
So yeah,
that's the anti-LeBron.
It is, and someone called it the anti quote tweeted and said the anti-Mello. So essentially the same thing. Mello leaves New York, and it's less than buddy buddy.
Right.
So it'd be a good test for the Bucks. Giannis, if you remember, had 48 right against the Wizards last year. Not 48, but he had like 44.
Pretty sure 44 was his career high.
You're right. 39.
Year.
I take that back. I'm sorry. 39.
Yeah, that was
year.
Like the first time.
Yeah, it was.
And then the Wiz, they also had a game against the Wizards where they blew like a 8-point lead with a couple minutes left.
That's right. That was in Washington. That was bad. Yeah, the Wizards and Bucks have played some good games in the last couple of years. So if you have a Monday night open, probably worth going down to the BC and supporting. How was the crowd? You were there on Monday working.
Not bad.
Yeah, it sounded good. It looked good. I mean,
for a Monday, not bad. Those Milwaukee Mondays do okay.
Yeah, with the T-shirts. Yeah, that's
T-shirts
a good
and local music, 88.9 pumps a lot of it.
Good. It's good shit. Anything else Bucks-wise?
No, not really. I just,
anything burning NBA wise? Are you any takes right now? I mean, it's kind of settled down. It feels like, the Arthur memes got hot for a little bit for whatever God knows reason.
Sixers are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Still hate them.
Sixers are sneaky good defensively.
Well, I'm not that surprised by that.
No, I'm not either.
They got length and. Well, and athleticism.
And we both saw Embiid in person. He's an absolute monster. He is so big. Mm-hmm. Like, Joel Embiid's definitely a guy you should go watch live because you'll be in amazement on how big he is.
Apparently, I need to watch DeAndre Ayton, too.
Oh, yeah?
The college dude?
Yeah.
Who's also a monster.
Yeah, college hoops is underway, and I don't think anyone gives a shit. I really don't. I wrote about this today.
Well, why would you care right now?
Part of it's the Bucks. Like, part of it is the fact that
across the country, why would you give a fuck about Duke playing, the Citadel?
I mean, like, it's like.
Now I guess they start doing, like, the conference matchups.
Right,
and
Marquette's in the Maui next week.
I think that is when you start to kind of pay attention.
Right. And if Marquette might get a shot at Wichita State, and Wichita State's a top five team in the nation right now. So,
really?
They're really good this year. So. Marquette may get
Ron Baker's not walking through the
door. No, but they got it. They got some talent.
Who's Louisville's coach?
I don't even know.
Who cares? I mean, they honestly could probably not even have a program right now.
Right, and that's kind of it. Like, I'm not big into cheating, but it's like I don't know. I'm just so sick of it, and I don't get it.
I think people are starting to realize the corruption of college sports. A little bit.
Well, college football ratings are still doing well.
Sure.
And college football is having a great season
college football is doing well.
And we'll talk later about it, but it's good. So, but you're right. I do think some of that is, but I think I think the refs call so many ticky tack calls for freedom of motion because they don't want these guys playing beat up defense, but then they call so many fouls and they can't balance it out. They can't kind of get a little bit of both, which the NBA has done because they're professionals playing a sport. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think part of it that's is true. Due to a lot of the one and done
that's
culture.
That's a good point too about a lot of those tournament games last March were just foul fests.
Yeah,
you know? It's every
exactly.
time down.
It's terrible. And I understand why they're trying to do it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I will say, I'll give a plug to Marquette and say Marquette's definitely worth a view. They might not be that good this year. Wisconsin, I think, could also be a little
Did Marquette beat Purdue?
They did not.
Oh.
Purdue was too
Ugly.
Big. No, I watched the game this morning. I had a DVR'd and then watched it this morning. And so anyways, basically what happened
you had 2 hours to watch a game this morning?
I watched the second half.
Get the good parts.
Most of the second half, DVR'd it, just woke up in the morning, had coffee while I was writing and had it on, and so I could do a recap. But anyways, yeah, Isaac Haas is huge. They have a 7'3 guy, and he was just everything, and they also have shooters. Purdue's really good.
That's an all Van Wilder team.
Oh, yeah. Purdue's going to be a top 10 team by the end of the year. They're very skilled.
Too bad your boy Swanigan didn't stay.
Yeah, I love Boogie Swanigan. Too bad he's not a Buck.
Be better than DJ Wilson.
Yeah, probably.
Who got some clock tonight, by the way?
Yeah. Oh my God. Interesting. That's DJ Wilson's music.
I don't know why, but.
So keep
that trade value.
You bet. We shall move on. The Green Bay Packers won themselves a football game. It was an ugly football game. They won the game. And Brett Hundley, I think in the first half, I think a lot of us wondered, is this guy like a competent quarterback? Because there were just a lot of like kind of what the fuck plays. Like he had a couple sacks. He had the timeout thing where it was the clock was running out and he still calls timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Just was a mess. Just a shit show. Then the second half, you kind of started to see him put it together and you started to really sort of he almost sow his oats
right,
a little
right
bit.
Right when you were asking for Joe Callahan, right?
No, I don't think anyone was asking for Joe Callahan, but I think there would have been a lot of questions raised because it was a winnable football game.
I think I asked you that. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Where, you know, if he struggles again in the first half, do you think about Callahan? And you said, I think you do.
Yeah. And so, yes. But
then?
Yeah, he came with it. I mean, he has that pass to Devontae that was great, mm-hmm. both of them. And Devontae's kind of become the number one receiver. And that surprises nobody. But and it's just they picked on Kyle Fuller and they went after a guy. So I don't know if that's going to be their strategy going forward is just pick on the weakest link and keep going at it until it stops working. I mean, yes, he have a couple plays where it could have got intercepted. Yeah, but you're going to have that with a lot of young quarterbacks. So I'm encouraged by what Hundley did on Sunday, especially in the second half.
I am too. I mean, Detroit had the fifth or sixth ranked defense.
Yeah.
Heading into the game, I mean, probably still do. So obviously Hundley did something against a good defense.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging.
And Chicago's been good at home. I mean, they beat Pittsburgh. They beat Atlanta. I mean, or not beat Atlanta, but they came close. They lost by one. So
I mean, I don't know if that's a season saving victory, but it kind of is.
Yeah, with the way the NFC is right now, the NFC is a complete mess,
mm-hmm.
and the Packers kind of need to keep winning to have a shot. And they have a tough one with Baltimore. I don't know
it
how
tough.
I don't know how good Baltimore.
A lot of people are kind of saying Baltimore's terrible.
See, I have no idea how good Baltimore is because the AFC itself isn't that good. Because this is a weird comparison, but. And I don't think the Packers are as good as the Saints, but the Saints came into Buffalo and laid the absolute smackdown on mm-hmm. that team. And it could be that the AFC is just an absolutely trash fire of a conference besides Pittsburgh, New England, and Kansas City.
Yeah, that could be.
And so then, yes, maybe Baltimore isn't that good. I don't know if Joe Flacco has anything left. I mean, him and Jeremy Maclin have found kind of rhythm. Danny Woodhead's coming back. But they still have a lot of holes and a lot of question marks on that team.
Yeah. I mean, they still have a solid defense, right?
One of the best pass defenses in the league. Their run defense is average, so they're going to have to be a run-focused attack. And I feel like Jamal Williams fits into that. He showed a lot of bruising, sort of beat-you-up sort of running. I mean,
yeah.
He absolutely bulldozed the guy on a 4th-and-1 play.
He might be a... he might be a week 11 stream, huh?
Well, right. Absolutely. you know, he...
giving out the secrets of the kingdom.
He was a guy that, you know, has some shine ability. And he was a guy I think everybody expected to be
shine
next.
Shine ability. That's a good word.
That's not a word.
I like
but,
that.
That's a Trump. That's like Trump would come up. Ah, it's very shineable. or a lot of shineability on this White House. It's a beautiful White House, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. That sucked. I don't have a Trump. I don't have a good Trump impression. But how do we not have a Trump drop? Like, we don't have one Trump drop. Like, we don't have like
a stick
wrong...
to sports here on Tapping the Keg. So
that's exactly right. So, but yes, Jamal Williams was supposed to be the guy after Ty Montgomery. Like, if Ty Montgomery wasn't going to cut it, it was going to be Jamal Williams. And then he got hurt, and Aaron Jones got his time. So now this is sort of Jamal Williams, and we'll see. And the Packers
could be good for development.
Yeah. And it's not a bad problem to have a bunch of running backs who are good at carrying the football. And you know.
Ask Baltimore.
Absolutely.
They got about six running backs.
Yeah, Buck Allen, Alex Collins, Danny Woodhead. I mean, yeah, they have some dudes.
I feel like we're missing at least one more.
No, that's it. They just have three guys. Who would I be missing?
I don't know. Another random guy that I don't know.
But
Buck Allen, I guess, yeah.
So.
Javoris somebody?
Yeah, that's Buck Allen.
Oh.
His nickname is Buck. Sorry. I led you down a wrong path. But on the other side of the ball, this defense, I don't know. Man, as someone who is the inventor of the Devon House fan club,
That's Homer Simpson gift right
man,
there. Back in the bushes.
He has cement for cleats.
He got burned.
He's got burned back-to-back weeks.
By some guy
named
Bellamy.
Yes, Josh Bellamy, who is my dad probably did his resume last week.
The only Bellamys I know are Bill Bellamy and, is that who I'm thinking of?
Yeah, Bill Bellamy, you're right.
Like the old MTV guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there used to be a safety named Bellamy.
Oh.
Like Jay Bellamy.
Ray Bellamy?
Could be, yeah.
Yes, my dad did his resume last week, and then he got beat by Marvin Jones 2 weeks ago. So guess what? Joe Flacco likes to throw deep. So guess what? There's gonna be some pick play or some deep balls to Jeremy Maclin, who's still a speedster amid his knee injuries.
Well, and what about Kevin King?
Yeah, I don't know. Kevin King has a shoulder injury. He probably is questionable. We'll see what the injury report comes out as the week goes on. But he'd be quite the loss. I mean, the defense has to be opportunistic against Flacco, who's been a turnover machine thus far this season. And we'll see if the pass rush stays like they woke up and Mike Daniels like, well, we had a chip on our shoulder and all this. And it's like, okay, well, you guys have to play like this every week.
Yeah, does that bother you that he said that? Like, we got tired of listening about how bad we were. And it's like, well,
I don't, but I also wonder, like, okay, so you guys mailing it in? You're like,
Did you forget to like sort of take it upon yourselves to make up for Rodgers being gone, and they just kind of figured that, well, it'll happen, and no, it's not.
I don't know. So we'll see. This is a big week for that defense because I don't think it was a great performance. I mean, they got a bunch of sacks and they had some coverage sacks and got off on third down, but the scars are still open. There's no reason that Baltimore couldn't come in and just run
put up 30.
Right. And like the thing is like against New Orleans, they held their own until they still had trouble getting off, but they held their own. They forced a couple turnovers and they just kind of got tired as the game went on.
Yeah.
And could that happen this week? Yeah.
I was going to say, New Orleans, they had two picks in the first two drives. Right,
exactly. But they were not stopping them.
Both of them were like in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least in enemy
close,
territory.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know,
and plus, getting two interceptions in the first two drives is a little less opportunistic than it is on the last two drives.
Yeah. And the special teams kind of fixed itself with Brett Good coming back. So it all comes full circle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they signed Brett Good. So Brett Good will now be the long snapper for this team, and hopefully that'll make things right. Justin Vogel.
What was Brett Good doing?
I don't know. Brett Good, yeah, it's good. It's not good. Brett Good was probably just hanging out, probably just sipping beers. I mean, he's a long snapper.
Yeah.
Long snapper is a great job.
It is.
I mean, he's getting paid $700,000 just to snap a football.
No.
God, what a life.
Just that special teams unit is just,
no
man,
doubt.
That's why everyone hates him.
Absolutely. So prediction wise, do you where do you sit? I mean, I picked the Packers to lose last week,
and they won. I think I'm gonna take the Packers to lose this week.
Okay.
I think Baltimore comes in and just. I think we kind of go back to what we saw before the Bears game. I feel like I'm breaking your heart.
No, no, you're not, because I'm probably going to take the Packers to lose as well.
You are.
Yeah, I don't want to be – I feel like Brett Hundley
– You don't want to drink too much Kool-Aid?
Yeah, and, like, I'll probably pick him to lose against Pittsburgh next week, too. I mean, regardless. Well, yeah. But it probably –
That's in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is the best team in the league at home and the worst team in the league on the road.
I think Packers lose 20-16, so I think it's close. I think they might get a late touchdown to make it a little closer than it looks. But, yeah, I think Baltimore's defense is too good against the Packers.
I think I go 27-17.
Okay.
Baltimore.
Yeah, that seems right. That's a little more points, and I was surprised.
I think I'll be impressed if the Packers defense shows out again this week.
Yeah, and that's a great point. It's like, prove it. All right, you did it against the Bears.
You did it against a rookie quarterback who did have 300 yards still.
Yeah, I know. And do it against an average quarterback and see what happens.
We get something out of Clay Matthews. That'd be nice.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Other NFL news notes. Great. It's actually a really great slate of games. I mean,
that's good because college sucks this
week. Exactly. Because you get the Saints and the Rams. Not the Saints and the Rams. You get the Saints. Who do the Saints play? The Saints don't play. They're on bye. You get the Vikings and the Rams. So that's a big game. Jared Goff comes to US Bank Stadium. Should be
Vikings have another home game.
Yes, exactly. And then they're only
they have three in the road in a row.
They have only two left after this game. I have a blog post that I'm working up about, are we sure the Vikings are good? Because I don't know if they are. If you look at that schedule, they've played a cake schedule. I was talking to a friend of the program, Nolan Murphy, and Murph's like, Vikes are going to win the division. And I said, look at their schedule for the next 4 weeks. And
a little bit of bias in that conversation.
No, not really. Because look at their schedule. Look who they've played. They have not played anybody.
Yeah.
And they gave up 30 points to the Redskins.
Yeah.
Jared Goff might be a sneaky DK play because I don't know if the Vikings I don't know if the Vikings defense is worth a damn this year. Just something. Who have they played?
They gave up 30 points on the road to the Redskins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. That's a pretty good quarterback. I don't think I'm saying anything profound.
Who have they played? Tell me who they've played.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, the Packers, but Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Yeah.
So
okay, they played the Saints week one. The Saints hadn't figured their shit out. Adrian Peterson was still infecting that team
with his cancer. Defending the Vikings here. You're getting upset at me.
No, I'm not getting upset. I'm just asking you who they've played, and you can't give me an answer.
They haven't played anyone.
So then why is their defense all – why are we filleting their defense?
This is what people do because look at the numbers, man.
They gave up 30 points.
Yeah, I know. This week.
Here,
I don't even know who the fuck they played. I'm not going to lie to you.
Here's a list of teams. They played the
Saints. I know who's in their division. That's about it.
They got their ass kicked by the Steelers. They played the Buccaneers, who've actually been bad. They lost to the Lions, who are decent. They squeaked out a game against the Bears on the road, 20-17. Beat an Aaron Rodgers-less Packers, beat the Ravens at home, beat the Browns in London.
Okay, I get the point. Yeah, they haven't played anybody.
They've played shit. So now they play the Rams, the Lions, the Falcons, and the Panthers.
But I think Case Keenum is a capable NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and you wonder what Jeff Fisher was fucking doing because he had Case Keenum and Jared Goff.
Yeah.
He should never be allowed to coach again.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jeff Fisher was done 10 years ago.
Exactly. And John Fox has been done 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So until John Fox leaves, the Bears are just going to kind of...
It's just a curse.
Kind of going to do this thing. Other games of note, Eagles, Cowboys. I think that's a big one for the Packers. You definitely need the Eagles to win that game. And then Falcons, Seahawks. I think the more times the Seahawks lose, the better. Seahawks have to rebound with Richard Sherman being down for the season. And that'll be an interesting one in Seattle, because Falcons are kind of in the same spot the Packers are, just a better version, right?
Do you think Seattle's good?
I don't know. And like, I don't know if Atlanta's good, because Atlanta beats a Cowboys team and they dominate, but they had no Zeke, they had no Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith was a bigger loss than Zeke, because Claiborne has six sacks and just is a monster. And
what
so,
if Cleveland beats Jacksonville?
Won't happen. Jacksonville's all right.
Well, I know their defense is fantastic.
I mean, we're going to get two teams from the AFC South in the playoffs. Do you realize that? Titans and Jags are going to probably be in the playoffs.
I was wondering. I was playing the game against Tennessee in Madden, and I thought, I think the Titans are good this year, right?
Yeah, 6-3. They're on NBC tonight against Pittsburgh, and it'll be all Sky Cam. So I don't know how you feel about the Sky Cam, but they're gonna apparently the whole game's gonna be in Sky Cam.
That's on NBC.
It's a Thursday night game.
It is on NBC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, NBC has half the contract.
Huh.
So CBS gets the first half, NBC gets the second half.
Nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mike Tirico and Chris
Maybe
Collins.
I did, actually,
Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. Pretty good.
No Al Michaels.
No, Al just does Sunday, which is fine. Because if Al, too much exposure, Al, like old guys can't do that much.
Right.
Like just let Al cook. This is why Musburger should have been on the broadcast. But now, I mean, he's just hanging out in Vegas, just tipping strippers. So God bless him. And God, you know, always God bless Brent Musburger. So we must
Ben McAdoo, he got the coup de grace from the ownership this
week. And that was interesting.
That's
because,
the kiss of death.
You know, I thought Ben McAdoo, I was waiting for Ben McAdoo to get fired and then him be like an advisor for the Packers for the rest of the season, because that would have definitely happened.
But he got the dreaded vote of confidence.
Well, he's going to get fired. The Giants we're the Giants, and we're not going to, they're like the Cardinals.
Absolutely
in LA,
boat race by, like, by the Niners, who are hardly an NFL team.
Right, and now they have to play the Chiefs at home. They're absolutely terrible against tight ends. So, like, what's the over-under on Travis Kelce yards? Like, 150?
150 and two, I would put the bar at.
Yeah. So, if you're playing Travis Kelce and ending your fantasy leagues.
Buffalo goes out to L.A. to play the Chargers. That's a loss.
Nate Peterman versus potentially Kellen Clemens.
Yeah.
What a shit show.
I might have to start Kellen Clemens in DK.
it's 2017 and Kellen Clemens is getting starts. We fucked up.
It's funny. I used to love that guy when he played at Oregon. That's what got me into it.
SB Nation.
Him and
actually,
Terrence Whitehead.
Speaking of Oregon, SB Nation just wrote an oral history about the 2017 when Dennis Dixon tore his ACL on that Thursday night.
Yeah.
I was in my dorm room. I was a freshman in college.
Yep, I remember that night.
And they lose to Arizona.
There's
I remember
that at
watching,
Arizona.
Yep. Remember watching it.
Oregon was like number three in the country.
They were number two.
Were they?
Yeah.
They haven't been that. I mean, they hadn't been that good, and probably ever.
Yeah, and then they had the team that went to the final game against Auburn.
Yeah. So in 2009-10.
Yep. And so since we're talking college football, Wisconsin Badgers, I think, make themselves a statement. I mean, they still have some problems on that offense, but
yeah, if Hornibrook wasn't a piece of shit, we probably could have had a shutout.
Well, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's fumbled twice as well. So, I mean, there's
that Heisman hope is kind of.
I don't think it's there. I think there's too many freshman mistakes, and I think you're starting to see him wear down a little bit. I mean, he had 158 yards, but there's reasons.
Clearly,
the
stigma, though, of being a freshman and winning the Heisman is no longer there.
Yeah, I think it is for running backs. I think for quarterbacks, it doesn't exist. But I think for running backs, wide receivers, I think the stigma exists because the quarterbacks always get the nod. And I think Baker Mayfield kind of has it locked up. I think, you know, Saquon Barkley struggles, and that's all it takes. And so Baker Mayfield's made it happen, and I think he deserves the Heisman. And probably going to get Texas Tech's coach fired, because how do you let Baker? Well, they play Kansas and West Virginia, and then their championship games probably against TCU or Oklahoma State. So I laid out sort of what's ahead for all these teams, and there's a long way to go. I mean, as you said, this is a shit week. Miami has a potential.
This is the SEC
bye week. So you have all the SEC teams playing just absolute tire fires of teams. And
I mean, if they're going to do it this late in the year, why don't you just do a Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, because Thanksgiving weekend is like a traditional college football weekend. You know, we'll get Alabama, Auburn. We're going to get Wisconsin, Minnesota, which is a sneaky, terrifying game.
Yeah, I know. We've
because
talked about it.
If they beat Michigan and Minnesota has to play at Northwestern and they lose that game, Minnesota could not only can Minnesota win this game and end the Badgers' perfect season, but they can also become bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you'd prefer them
and
to win.
On top of the rivalry.
Yes. And it would give P.J. Fleck the feather in his hat for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I will guarantee you that fans
the proverbial Lovie Smith feather in your hat, like we got to beat.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
And Lovie
Smith,
it was we got to beat Green Bay.
That's a great reference.
Which he didn't, by the way.
That's a great reference. Yes.
But if P.J. Fleck starts out his career by beating Wisconsin in the X game. Yeah, that would be nice
six,
for him.
Right, exactly. If they're 6-6 and he beat Wisconsin and ended their perfect season, he has cachet in Minnesota for the next 3 or 4 years.
Could be.
So we'll talk about that next week. But Michigan, they're bigger fish to fry in the University of Michigan. And, you know, Michigan kind of is hot. They're riding good right now. Defense kind of figured it out again. Brandon Peters is a solid quarterback. But I do think the Badgers have a bit of an edge because the fact that they are such a good team against the run. They're a top five team against the run. Michigan is a run-first team. And I think that that is going to really help Wisconsin. And Alex Hornibrook has to be careful because that Michigan defense is good. And he and I don't know what Paul Chris can do and scheme to make sure Alex Hornibrook isn't doing this dumb shit. But you have to figure out ways to prevent him from throwing interceptions.
Yeah, this is 11 a.m. game, too.
And what do you? How do you feel about that?
I was going to ask you, but I mean, I know what the Big Ten doesn't do primetime games after I heard that.
Oh, really?
That they don't, that just because of the temperatures and stuff, they don't do night games.
That's fascinating.
They'll do 2:30 or whatever, 3:30 start times, but they don't do like the night games.
They don't do the night games because of the temps.
So
that
I wonder
makes sense.
That has something to do with it. And plus, you know, Michigan's fallen off a little bit, I guess. Not really. They still have two losses, right?
Well, Fox decided to carry.
And they're ranked again, right?
Yeah, they're ranked again. I don't even think they're carrying a football game at 3. FS1's carrying Nebraska and Penn State. I think this is Fox must have something going on at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be.
And so they don't have a game, and instead they're rolling out the Badgers and Michigan as their big game.
USC UCLA is on Fox as well.
ABC. That's ABC's big game. That's their Saturday night game.
Oh.
But it's like, I feel like ESPN has to be so pissed off that Fox has part of this contract because they've went to so many, College Game Days went to so many Fox games, and they finally get a big game with Miami Notre Dame, and it's a complete flop.
Mm-hmm.
Miami just runs rumshod against Notre Dame and just does the damn thing.
Yeah.
And so they finally get one big game, and it's not there. And so ESPN not having this game, they don't have Michigan, Ohio State, which isn't as big, and they won't have Alabama, Auburn, which will probably be the big game next week. So talk about a big
loser.
That'll
be CBS for sure.
It's definitely spread out. It's not just everything's on ABC and ESPN. But yeah, this would be a 2:30 start. It had to be ABC or ESPN. They would have found room for it.
Mm-hmm.
So being a noon start, I do worry about the fan attendance. The student section has been perpetually late.
Yeah, but I was reading some Twitter mentions and stuff that there's a lot of security that goes into that stuff. I mean, obviously, that's kind of excusey.
That's fair.
But I mean, in a way, if it takes 20 minutes to get in the stadium, you know, you're going to be
right,
seeing, you know, kids, you know, we've all done it where you don't go into the game right away if you're imbibing out in the, you know, tailgating and drinking on your porch or whatever they do.
If you're 20, I mean, you got to fit in those last fireball shots, those last shotguns.
When kickoff
and
starts,
lights.
That's when you start to just dial it up.
Right.
For the first half of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then you factor in another, probably a 10, 15, 20 minute walk. And then a 20-minute, and you know, it's you're looking at the end of the first quarter until you get in there. So
now here's another question: Do I go out for?
I would say because you know you're not going to obviously buy if they even do sell beer at Camp Randall.
They don't.
So there you go. There's
for
your
good
answer.
Reason.
Yeah, there's your answer.
So do I? If I get invited out for casuals, do I go out because I have a dinner with Morgan's family and my family on Saturday night? Do I even dare go out for casuals for the 11 a.m. start?
Probably, you know, it's
yeah,
up
probably
to
shouldn't.
You. I mean, you're a grown man, but.
Just wanted to get a temperature check.
Yeah.
Mitch kind of gave me like
I feel like you could.
If you were in the booth with us, Mitch kind of gave us like, you better fucking not. Like,
I mean,
don't
kind,
do it.
Kind of, but
don't
I feel like you could, honestly.
I don't know.
I think you're, like I said, I think you're a grown man. So.
You're a grown ass man. You can make your own decisions,
rules. You can be responsible.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. And I think the Badgers are going to win that game.
You're the one who ducked out early last weekend. You knew it was time.
Yeah, that was my first, like, duck out early in a while. I just didn't eat enough, man. I had, like, a brat from Brat House.
Such an overrated thing.
No, it's not.
All you had, then yeah.
I had a brat and coleslaw, and then I only had like, a half of a thin crust pizza. I just didn't eat enough during the day. Hmm. And I just was overserved. I also, Brass Alley. Brass Alley, I know no one probably listens who actually, like, works there, but can you stop making your drinks so goddamn strong? Like, you don't need to put, like, Ruflin in these drinks.
Well.
Like seriously, like, 95.5 vodka, like, it's not working. Like,
yeah.
I was sitting at the bar drinking, and...
Plus, you know, when you do go out at 6, 7 o'clock,
yeah.
And it gets to be, you know, midnight.
That's true.
You do the math.
Yeah. That's a good point. I love that. Thank you. You've justified my decision, but I will say,
because
like,
trust me, I wore it myself, and I, you know, I was out too late, but I mean, it didn't seem too crazy.
It's funny. I was sitting there, and I was like, some girl walks up, and she's like, she orders a drink and like a vodka drink. And I'm like, oh, that's a bad call. And I'm like, she's like, what do you mean? I go, it's, they can't make fucking drinks here. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And she takes a sip and she's like, oh, you're right. This is terrible. I'm like,
yeah.
You're welcome. There are just certain bars that are beer bars. There are certain bars that you can get a good drink at.
Yeah.
So we'll just
that's
say
that's for another podcast.
We could literally run down a list. Like I could just get a Santa Claus list and run it down. And
that would be a fun podcast. Just kill an hour on what we think about bars.
The roast of like our favorite thing and least favorite thing about each individual
bar.
Now
our credibility might waver a bit because we're, you know, Kobe Bryant at this point.
The question is, do we do it at a bar? This would be a good podcast for like the end of the year, right? Like yeah. Where it's like we have no content.
Running a best of.
We're no content. It's like shit's not going right. Packers have already missed the playoffs. Bucks are
so shit's not going right.
But yeah. So I don't even know.
Bucks have lost six in a row.
Yeah. So we were gonna mention the Brewers. I don't even know. I mean,
I'm suicidal.
There's some Jake Arrieta buzz going around. I don't know how much you want to believe it, how much you want to get excited about it. I think a lot of people have trepidation because you say, oh, Kyle Loesch, oh, Jeff Suppan, here we go again.
It's a huge offseason, yeah.
I mean, it would be a massive acquisition.
Acquisition, yeah.
And then – I almost said accusation. And then – they would, I think that it would put the Brewers on another level. It would be a shot to the Cubs, and Jake's a beloved.
Hadn't thought of that.
He's a beloved Chicagoan. Like I think Cubs fans really like him. Derek Johnson was.
Does he have a beard or what?
No, Derek Johnson was his pitching coach. Was a guy who helped mold him back to, or not his pitching coach, but he was on the staff when Arrieta came back. And came to Chicago. So there is that aspect of it as well. So you wonder.
Well, and Derek Johnson is no longer hated. I'll say that.
No, I think Derek Johnson's trusted. I think you can. I think Darno Coles, I think some people have issues with him, but I think that's a little.
Well, I don't. I mean, the offense was great in the first half, and then it kind of just, you know, law of averages, I think.
That's more of a shout out for my dad if he listens. You know, it's kind of like Ricky Bobby when he leaves the tickets at the window. It's kind of like me. Like sometimes I'll just do casual drops for my dad. And he
little catnip.
Yeah, exactly. Like I know he doesn't like Darnell Coles. And mm-hmm. so he thinks Darnell Coles. At the tail half of the season, he was wondering about Darnell Coles. So,
yeah.
But you look at what Domingo Santana's
done. You're
going
to hate a guy over a half a season, man. You must really hate Mike McCarthy and Jason Kidd.
Take it up with John. Don't take it up with me. I have no problem.
Just an observation.
You're killing the messenger here.
Yeah, I know.
But we'll see. I mean, if the Brewers are going to make a splash, I don't know, you know, in terms of the free agent market.
I think I would prefer a situation, not to cut you off, but,
no,
but I'm just saying, I think I would prefer a situation where they go out, and if you're going to sign somebody, I'd like to see like an Alex Cobb. Or somebody of that ilk, you know, like more of a two.
Yeah.
And then you maybe trade for, you do like they did in 2011 and trade for, I don't know, Chris Archer, who wasn't very good last year. But maybe that helps there with the trade value case.
And apparently the Rays are listening. And apparently, you know. Well,
they done been listening for.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's
at least a year.
It is a fascinating offseason, not just for the Brewers, but the fact that Jake DeGrom could be on the block. Chris Archer could be on the block. Baumgartner could be on the block.
Yeah, I mean, any of those guys.
Is available. I mean, that's a murderer's row of guys.
And then we get Braun to play first.
And we get Braun to play first because that's what we've talked about. That's our dream. CeCe Sabathia comes back. Yeah. That was ruined. That's out there now.
Oh, I'm good.
Hargecourt, like, there's a little mention of it. Huh. And I love it. I love it. That would be great. If CeCe came back and dominated and then he could get his number retired, because I think you would. You need like 1.5 years to really get there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, the Brewers, it's going to be buckle up for this offseason because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there is a lot of things to be excited about. And we'll just see. And hot stove's just starting. It'll get hotter as the months get colder, as they say. So we shall see what comes of it. But yeah, next week we'll, I think, have a podcast. We'll see with the Thanksgiving week. Who knows? If we don't, well, we'll come back in 2 weeks. But We shall talk to you about all things Wisconsin sports next week. Thanks for checking us out. Remember, you can find us at SnowTapWI. It's a website. Also,
Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE.
At SnowTapWI.
At SnowTapWI.
So take care. Have a good
Instagram,
rest of your
SnowTapWI.
Week. Yeah, if I still do that. See ya.
See ya.